This is Jay Sekulow. Big wins for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in New York.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Start spreading the news.
New Yorkers, you've always had my back. And I've always tried to have yours. Today, together, we did it again, and I am deeply, deeply grateful.
New York, these little town blues.
Today, we took Secretary Clinton on in her own state of New York, and we lost. I congratulate Secretary Clinton on her victory. There are five primaries. Next week, we think we're going to do well.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I want to thank everybody. It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. Nobody should take delegates and claim victory. It's a crooked system. It's a system that's rigged. And we're going to go back to the old way. It's called you vote and you win.
This is the year of the outsider. I'm an outsider. Bernie Sanders is an outsider. Both with the same diagnosis, but both with very different paths to healing. Millions of Americans have chosen one of these outsiders.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, there's only one way to say it, and that is it was a very big night for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. On the Donald Trump, the Republican side, 60.5% of the vote went to Donald Trump. John Kasich trailed at 25, Ted Cruz at 14. Trump gets 89 delegates right now. Kasich looks like he's going to get three, none for Ted Cruz. There may be one or two other ones coming in. They're still doing some tabulation. Hillary Clinton also had a big night, although not as big as Donald Trump, but a big night, and that is 57.9% went to Hillary Clinton, and that is she got 173 delegates. Bernie Sanders got 42% and 106. Now let's get up the current delegate slate as well as it stands right now. So as it stands right now, Donald Trump has 845 delegates. He is 392 away from the number 1237 needed to clinch the nomination. Ted Cruz is 559. He is at 678 away. Kasich, 147, 1,090 delegates away. And Marco Rubio is still beating John Kasich with 172 delegates. I don't think there's a clear path for anyone in the Republican side except probably at this point Donald Trump. That doesn't mean there won't be second ballots, of course, but on the first run. It's very interesting on how this is being played out. We're going to take your comments and calls on this. We want to know how you feel about it. I mean, what's your sense of this? Where do you think this is going from here? We're going to talk about the other states. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. You happy, please? Not happy? Where do you see this thing going? Hillary Clinton looks like she's going to be the nominee. I think she's not only the presumptive frontrunner, she's pretty much clinching it. And Donald Trump is on a march, no doubt about it. What are we hearing online?
People are just now chiming in, so you can join, be part of the conversation on Facebook and on Periscope. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people log in, a lot of Trump supporters out today. I wonder why, because they're excited about their win. A
big win.
People, I think they said the Real Clear Politics was at like 55, 53,
yep.
And to come in at 60, I mean, that's bigger than
people
understand.
I guess the ceiling's not 35%.
No. All right, so if you want to comment in, if you have a difference of opinion, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or join us on Facebook, Periscope,
yep,
or ACLJ.org.
All right, Than Bennett, Director of Government Affairs, is in our offices in Washington, D.C. Than, first, quickly here, because we're running right on a break, your reaction to the results.
It was a drubbing, Jay. I mean, it was almost impossible for Donald Trump to exceed expectations because they were that high. Jay, he exceeded them. I mean, you're talking about 60% of the vote, 90 of the 95 delegates, only lost one congressional district. And here's the biggest takeaway. It was a clear step to the possibility of getting 1237 before Cleveland.
Yeah, I we're going to talk about that after the break. He has a path, and we've been saying that for a while. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Calls are coming in. Comments are pouring in. Trump, Cruz, Kasich, Clinton, Sanders. That's what we want to talk about on the broadcast today. Get your comments. I'll tell you where we think it looks like it's going. Let me also say this. We're in a matching challenge campaign, as I've been mentioning, in April. We are about $35,000 behind last year, about $55,000 behind our budgeted goal for this week. So we really need your help. ACLJ.org is the easiest way. You'll be getting some email alerts from me as well. But just go over to ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ. We'll take your calls in a moment.
It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
And I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Well, my hometown, home state, voted. And I will tell you, it was interesting. There's a couple of interesting factors. Let me tell you this. First, if you added up the total number of Republican votes, it was one of the largest turnouts ever because normally the New York primary is not that significant. It does not equal the votes that Hillary Clinton got in the Democratic side, which tells you where New York generally leans. Donald Trump won all but one county, and it looks like that county was New York County, which is a portion of Manhattan. But he was right behind John Kasich there. So Kasich may pick up a couple of delegates at this point, but it is 60% for Trump, 57%, almost 58% for Clinton. Looking at the states ahead, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump is up on the Real Clear Politics average 20% right now. I'm looking at Maryland and these others, Trump up 14 in Maryland. You go then to Delaware, Trump up 22. On the Democratic side, it looks like Hillary Clinton up by 13. In Pennsylvania, I mean, it's Clinton, Clinton, Trump, Trump. I mean, this is, we're coming into then a Clinton, Trump juggernaut for the next week. That next Tuesday, by the way, is a mini Super Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this was always going to be a good 2 weeks for Donald Trump. But I tell you what, after last night, I expect next Tuesday will be an even better week for him. I think he's going to win all five states. Jay, our listeners know there are 54 unbound delegates that come out of Pennsylvania. There's also going to be a few in Rhode Island that are broken out proportionally. But I suspect he will probably win every single delegate other than those I just laid out. And it'll put him on a path to 1237. Then we move to more friendly territory to Senator Cruz. But if Donald Trump can start winning in those states, the first one will be Indiana on May 3rd. Look out. It might not be a contested convention after all. Donald Trump might get to 1237.
Yeah. Are we pulling up? Is there any polling down? I'm asking Will, a producer. Is there no polling data yet on Indiana? Because generally, Indiana not doesn't matter. Yeah. But, yeah, not usually not in play. But I suspect – I mean, we need to look at that, kind of how that would lean. I mean, you would think Indiana would be a decent state for Kasich. But I don't see him catching on anywhere at this point, Van. Do you?
Well, he got five delegates last night, and he's only got 1,000 more to go to get the nomination.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
that momentum just doesn't mean that much. I mean, I will say Indiana is a state that Senator Cruz hopes to win, and if he does win it, it doesn't, you know, the nomination is not over. But my point in pointing to Indiana is if Donald Trump can win there, that's what tips the tables in terms of him getting over 1237. And with all those momentum last night and potential momentum next week, I don't think it's off the table for him.
No, I don't either. I think Indiana's going to be very close, and it may lean Trump by the time the momentum from next week comes in, because that momentum, folks, is going to be big. Momentum plays a factor in politics. There's no doubt about it. It does in litigation, too. When we do cases, it does. Go ahead, Logan, what do we have?
We had a comment coming from Caroline. It's on the other side. She said, what happened to Bernie Sanders? The media continues to downplay everything Sanders. I'm disgusted with them. Well, in short, Sanders had a pretty big loss last night.
Yeah, big loss. I mean,
he could be the John Kasich where he just never gets out.
Yeah.
But at this point,
he lost he got 752,000 votes. She got 1,037,000 votes, 5,742. 173 delegates go to Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders gets 106. He has no path. I mean, I know there's people listening that like Bernie Sanders, yeah, but there's not really a path. Listen, a lot of people who listen to the broadcast like Ted Cruz. The fact is, it's a tough path. I mean, it's not impossible. It could be second. This was a big loss last night, and a big win for Trump and Clinton. I'm just giving you, folks, we're not endorsing candidates. We're just laying out the evidence. Larry Sabato was talking about the Indiana issue. Of course, he's on Fox News. He's University of Virginia political analyst, does a very good job. Listen to what Sabato had to say.
If I had to pick out two that matter more than any others, it would be Indiana, because it's a giant question mark. Cruz has got to win that to stop Trump. Trump has got to win it to get close enough to 1237 to get the nomination.
I think that's right. So Indiana, and who would have thought Indiana would have become the pivotal state here, but I suspect that's what it's going to be.
Well, it's late in the process, and there's an opportunity there for it to be winner-take-all or winner-take-most. And the key there is that it's a Cruz country, so if Donald Trump would win it, it would be a big shift in the numbers, and it would give him a lot of momentum heading into California. The nomination won't be clinched by California, but if Donald Trump is close enough, he could certainly carry it over the line.
Yeah, there's also a theory now, and I think this is correct, that if Donald Trump is within 50 or 100 delegates on the floor of the convention in Cleveland, he will pick up with his delegate apparatus now being developed, he would probably pick up those delegates. I mean, that seems to be a pretty big thought right now in this process, that he could actually move forward even if he's not at 1237 by the end of California, that by the time the actual convention starts, he can pick up those unbound delegates. I mean, Pennsylvania, for instance, which he's going to probably win by 20%, there, most of those delegates are not bound. So that's a big issue here. All right, let's take some calls and comments.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's take a call. Let's go to Britt, who's calling from Las Vegas, Nevada, on line one.
Hey, Britt.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Yeah, a comment about the whole process in last night. I mean, it surely seems to me, and this comes from somebody who really, really likes Ted Cruz,
yeah,
but nevertheless voted for Trump because some of the things that he had the guts to say that nobody had the guts to say.
Right.
I mean, whatever happened to the people's choice? I get the fact that Ted Cruz is in a political campaign and he won't give up. But since when has the goal become to disrupt the convention and not to win?
Since the beginning of the Republican and Democratic Party. I mean, this issue, Britt, of playing by the rules or not playing by the rules or changing the rules, this has been as old as politics. I mean, that's the reality here. I mean, I'm a lawyer. I deal with evidence. I deal with rules and rules of procedure. Those rules from 2012 are not binding on this convention. Now, I think they're going to have big trouble if they monkey with them too much. So that's number one. Number two, yes, the question, should Cruz drop out at this point? I don't think so. I think that this is a two-person race. I think if anybody should be dropping out, it probably is John Kasich. But I think it's a Cruz-Trump race. I think right now it's leaning definitely towards Trump, but I don't think Cruz is out by any stretch of the imagination. Remember, over the weekend, he picked up delegates. So I think it's a two-person race, and I think that's healthy for the Republican Party. I think it's healthy for the Democratic Party to have a two-person race. It sharpens the issues, sharpens the debate, so to speak. But, Britt, I appreciate your call. And, look, there's no doubt Trump had you can't say anything other than Trump had a big, big night, period.
That's right. And if you want to give us a call, you want to chime in, 1-800-684-3110, or join us on Facebook and Periscope.
So, Logan, you have friends that are Republicans and Democrats and pro-Trump and pro-Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
What was the reaction last night?
Last night, I think the Bernie crowd seemed fairly defeated. I think it kind of felt like the end. Here's a comment actually came from Linda. She said, young people voted for Bernie, and I think young people also voted for Trump. I'm very curious. You know, there is that sort of idea that if she just put it here, Hillary has a big task in front of her to get young Democratic voters to vote for her in November. Will those voters stick to their word, saying, "Well, it's not Bernie. I'm not," because I think it's like 30%. It's a crazy
30%,
percentage.
Yeah,
said, "Well, I'm not voting for. I'm not probably not voting." So the question is, if the people that said they're not going to vote for Trump, and then there's the people that said they're not going to vote for Bernie or vote for Hillary, if they're not voting, does it even matter?
If there's 30% on each side, it'll cross each other out.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, and I hate
to
say
this, the people that never vote usually.
Because I want to encourage young people to vote. I think it's your civic, obligation. But the fact of the matter, Than, you and I have been involved in a lot of presidential politics. Young voters are not a big factor in elections. I mean, that's just fact.
They're not. In this cycle, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders have brought a lot of them into the primary process. And, Jay, for the first time in a long time, one of the key questions to who wins in November might be which nominee can hold on to the ones that came in during the primary process. Yep. History tells us a lot of them will leak out of the process and will not vote in November. But if one of these two nominees, if it is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, if one of them can hold on to a big block of them, that's going to be the next president of the United States.
Yeah, so I think, look, I mean, a lot's in play here. I mean, there's no doubt about it that there's a lot in play politically. There's a lot in play with young people. There is a discontent. I don't think there's any question about that. This is an outsider. You look at who's in the race. So if you look at who's in the race, on the leading side of the Republicans, it's Donald Trump, who's not a politician until he entered politics now, and Ted Cruz, who is certainly not establishment. On the Democratic side, it's Hillary Clinton. I would say, obviously, a political lineage there in that family, going back to the president, but also her time as Secretary of State and as a U.S. Senator, and Bernie Sanders, now U.S. Senator, but certainly not establishment. So you've got a three-quarters of the race is not establishment candidates, and I think that's saying something. I gave a talk last night in Lincoln, Nebraska, and in talking with a lot of people yesterday evening, I will tell you that there is a palpable discontent with the party politics, and they're worried about what Trump has been saying about this whole issue of the rules changing. When people vote, that's how you choose a nominee. But the fact is that is not how it's been done. So these rules about delegates have been around forever. I do think Trump has tightened up his apparatus. He's made major changes in that campaign. I was out yesterday. I don't know if you, did you all talk about that at all, some of the changes in the campaign?
Not really. We got into it much, no.
So here's what happened. Basically, he's put in, I'll give you the names of the folks when we come back from the break, the new leadership, basically. Corey Lewandowski still involved heavily, but they brought in people now to manage the floor. That's becoming a big deal. Paul Manafort, who'd been involved in the last couple of weeks, has taken on a higher profile. And Than, really quickly, I think Trump's realizing he's the art of the deal. He's got to get this deal done. He needs the people to help him get it.
He's realizing he's left delegates on the table in a lot of these states and that there's a lot of delegates on the table in Pennsylvania. It will be Paul Manafort's job to make sure that those mistakes aren't replicated in Pennsylvania.
All right, we don't have time for a call.
I don't think so. Not this.
All right, so let's do this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to your calls, I promise. But let me also ask you to do something. We're in our April matching challenge. We are, I looked this morning, about $35,000 behind where we were last year and about $50,000 behind our goal for this week. I really need your help. ACLJ.org, tax deductible, helps us fight in court, helps us stay on the air, helps us engage these issues. So just go over to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We encourage you to do that. ACLJ.org. I will tell you, Paul Manafort is his guide at the convention operations. Rick Wiley, former RNC staffer, strong ties to party establishment, was working for Scott Walker. He's now involved in the Trump campaign. It's a battle, folks. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Everybody, welcome back. I'm looking at these numbers. They're pretty staggering. So you look at the number of delegates that Donald Trump now has, 845. Ted Cruz is at 559. John Kasich's at 147. Marco Rubio still has more than John Kasich. I think we'll be able to say that probably for a long time. Hillary Clinton is 453 delegates short of clinching the nomination. She has 1,930 delegates. Bernie Sanders, 1,189. Dan, you said during the break, I think it is worth repeating, we are going to also take calls immediately. But, Dan, you think Bernie Sanders, and this is our analysis, folks, looking at the situation, you think Bernie Sanders is done?
I do. I think he's finished. I think his only chance going into last night, Jay, was to make a case to the superdelegates in the Democrat Party that they should switch to him, and that would have given him a fighting chance after losing New York by 15 points. He doesn't have a case to make to those superdelegates, and without them, he just can't catch her. I think he'll go to the convention, but I think he knows that he's not the nominee.
Bernie Sanders tried to spin this as, oh, she just won her home state, but let's play number one here.
Today we took Secretary Clinton on in her own state of New York, and we lost. I congratulate Secretary Clinton on her victory. There are five primaries next week. We think we're going to do well.
Let me tell you, he also was pitching it as his home state, too. And he just lost. I mean, Bernie Sanders, I don't like his policies, obviously. He's run an effective campaign, but I think it's over. And you said, Logan, that your friends that are Bernie Sanders kind of...
Well, I think a lot of them thought it was over months ago.
Okay.
And now this is just kind of the nail in the coffin. Because I feel like that's the general idea, especially when he started losing the states by such wide margins. And then there's obviously the comeback when he won the 7-8 states, however many it was in a row. Sure, that was great. But now when you see a big state like New York, not even close.
State changes and the whole ballgame changes. That's politics, folks. And that's why rules matter. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. You want to take a call or comment?
Let's do a call. A lot of people have been holding. Yep. Let's go to Cody in Texas.
Hey, Cody.
Left in Texas.
Yes.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to say I am a fan of Ted Cruz.
Yep.
I'm down here in Texas, and he's done a great job for us here.
Yeah.
I am a conservative voter, but a lot of voters out in the rest of the United States aren't conservative voters. I think that's really where Trump's picking up, is the people that aren't really.
So, Cody, let me ask you this. You know Senator Cruz's work because he represents the state of Texas. Do you think he's done a good job? Who are you going to vote for? Where are you leaning? Who do you vote for?
I'm leaning towards Trump because I believe that that Trump can take it.
So here's the question. This is the great dilemma. I'm glad you called, Cody. This is the second caller, you realize this, that is Cruz, but has voted Trump or will vote Trump, is hoping that Trump is now the nominee. This is the second one in a radio broadcast that's only been on the air for 24 minutes today so far. And that, to me, Fan, is pretty fascinating, that you've got people that are tending towards Cruz but are going and pulling for Trump at this point. That's an amazing turnaround in a few weeks.
Well, I think a big part of that is that Donald Trump is very close to the presumptive nominee now. And I mean, I think you heard Cody talk about the fact that he wants to defeat Hillary Clinton. He wants to know who can do it. You know, the polling shows that both of these guys, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, have a hill to climb in that regard. But the case that Donald Trump has been making, and that I think is actually a pretty legitimate one, is that while Ted Cruz would go after the normal swing states, Virginia, Ohio, Florida, Colorado, Donald Trump is going to try to change the map. He's going to try to win in New York, New Jersey, and Illinois. Yep. And if he can do that, Jay, then he does have a strong case to make that he can beat Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
From a purely votes number, who got more votes, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton. And if you look, actually, here's an interesting fact. I'm glad you brought that up. If you add up all of the Republican votes in New York, it would not equal the votes that Hillary Clinton got on the Democratic side.
So trying to come away with a win, a Republican trying to come away with a win in New York.
Not impossible.
Not impossible, but not likely.
No, but you've had you've had Republican mayors of New York. You've had Republican governors of New York.
All the time.
So it is not beyond the possibility, but if you're just looking at the sheer numbers, no, it does not look realistic. But I think Dan's right. I think Donald Trump's view is going to change the map. But what's fascinating to me, and that's why I love doing this broadcast, people that were leaning one way are looking at another for a vote.
We're getting a lot of those comments right now. Like Bob just said, Cruz will lose. I supported him, but I think he'll lose now.
Why are people saying it?
I think people are just seeing the writing on the wall now. When you hear things like, I was watching the morning shows this morning, they're using verbiage like no path. You know, no path to 1297, no path to the nomination. Even if that's not necessarily true, people don't understand, it starts to play mind games with you going, okay, it's over. You know, it's time to move on. And I think people also don't want to be, you know, in the situation where Ted Cruz becomes John Kasich, where he becomes this guy holding on to hope when really it's all over and he needs to just respect the fact it's all over. I don't necessarily believe that it's all over for him, but I think that's perception. Where they're leaning. There's also a conversation going on. Deborah just posted. She said Trump, according to the polls, Trump loses badly to Clinton, and Cruz and Clinton are neck and neck in the general election likely voters. Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but she just said that.
Well, I think those pre-election polls, before the candidates are picked, I never put a lot of stock into those, Stan, because when they start campaigning against each other, the knives come out, things are different.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and frankly, that's the reason that John Kasich polls the best of these three candidates, because nobody is attacking him. So when they start getting attacked, that polling would level out as well. It is true Cruz has polled a little bit better than Donald Trump, but it's on the margin of error, and frankly, Hillary Clinton's lead over both of them is also fairly irrelevant because, again, they're not focusing on each other.
Right, so that's going to change. Now, you mentioned the gap right now is almost 300 delegates between Trump and Cruz. So here's the question that we need to be thinking through. We'll talk about this in the next segment. After, and I want Will to work on this during the break, after next week's Super Tuesday primary, which is the Tuesday night states, it's going to be big. How many could Trump pick up, and what would the spread look like? That would be significant to know. So we will do that. You want to try to grab another column before the break?
Yeah, let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Louisville, Kentucky, on line three.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey.
To me, the major issue is the choice of the lesser of two evils between Trump and Clinton. After the decision our Supreme Court made with same-sex marriage, not knowing for certain where Donald Trump stands and knowing where Clinton stands, I think our country is already heading for disaster, but who can bring it back?
But you're looking at it, Jeff, as the lesser of evils. I think I think a lot of people realize things will change when you get into the general election format and the inter-party sniping is over with. People coalesce, and then there will be the real challenge, the real fight. And I think that is coming, and that you'll have a better idea where the policies are. Look, the Supreme Court hangs in the balance with the next presidential election. That is really significant. As I said, I was out in Nebraska last night. I gave a talk, and a lot of people asked about the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court's hanging in the balance right now. You saw that with the cases this week, these 4-4 ties and splits. So it's going to be major. I mean, there's a major move happening. But as Stan said, I'm going to let Stan repeat it. It's very important for people to understand this. This pre-nominee polling on who does better against who, really irrelevant because – and I do think it's correct on John Kasich. Nothing against John Kasich, but the fact is no one is talking about John Kasich, Stan, so of course his numbers are better.
We've seen it even inside this primary process. When a candidate comes into the visibility of voters, their polling goes one way or another. John Kasich hasn't been in the visibility of voters, and these candidates haven't been focusing on each other. Those polls will reset when we know the nominees.
All right, folks, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. We really need your help. ACLJ.org. We got to make up some... We're behind a little bit here, so ACLJ.org, any match you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And there's a lot of ways for you to get the next 30 minutes of this broadcast.
That's right. You can keep joining us and be a part of the show. If you're not listening on Sirius XM or one of the stations that carries the full hour, join us right now on Facebook, Jay Sekulow, Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow, ACLJ.org, or obviously you can download the ACLJ app on your iPhone or on Apple TV.
It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
We will fight for the right.
podcast, everyone, and we are talking about a big win in New York for Hillary Rodham Clinton and Donald J. Trump. And you look at the numbers, Clinton gets, she's at 1,930 delegates right now. Bernie Sanders, 1,189. Big gap. I mean, you're talking about an 800, almost 750 gap. On the Republican side, Donald Trump's at 845 delegates. That's what Donald Trump has right now. Ted Cruz at 559. Are you doing the math, Will? Are we there yet? Do we have it yet?
Yes.
All right. So we've got some math on how it looks Tuesday. After next Tuesday, they're calling it a mini Super Tuesday. There are a number of states in play here. I mean, there's some movement here. You've got Pennsylvania, although a lot of those delegates are not bound, but someone's going to win the. There will be some that are bound. Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, and I believe also Rhode Island. Yep, Rhode Island as well. So, how it looks like Trump is ahead in all of these. How does that? What does that look like? Will is our producer. How does it look like then at the end of tomorrow, Wednesday, a week from today? What will we be saying?
He could be over 950 delegates.
Yeah, and what? And Cruz would probably still be back at.
Cruz does not have too big of a path forward.
Yeah. So this is it. I mean, look, folks. I mean, this is. And this is nothing against Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz has run an unbelievable campaign. He's hung in. He's number two. You can't say Trump has run a bad campaign. He's number one right now. But the reality is, I think we've got a changing momentum factor here. And are you seeing that on Facebook and social media?
We are seeing a trend. I wouldn't say it's overwhelming yet, but you are seeing those comments come in that kind of both sides say, you know, take a look at what's happening here. I think we need to look. We need to encourage. You know, I think they said Ted Cruz used words like you unify the party. The party. Well, now is he looking like the person who's the spoiler?
Yeah.
You know, just like John Kasich, and that's where I think people are getting concerned about. Should we have time to go take another call?
Oh, we do.
All right, let's go to Cindy, who's calling from Effingham, Illinois. Been on hold for 25 minutes. Thanks, Cindy. Jackie, you're going to be up next.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that. I've just noticed that whenever Trump wins, you know, he's just as gracious as he can be. But, you know, when he loses, then everything's illegal. Everything is rigged.
Yep.
And yours don't deserve anything, you know, and he just squeals like a stuck pig. And I don't know why people expected him, why they're so surprised that he did so well.
I don't think people are surprised that he did well in New York. I think it's fair to say that people are surprised, including a lot of pundits, that he did this well, because the best polls had him at like 52, 53. So to come in at 60, that's a big number. Let me play for you what Donald Trump had to say last night.
It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice. Nobody should be given delegates, which is a ticket to victory, and it's not a fair ticket. And even though we're leading by a lot and we can't be caught, it's impossible to catch us. Nobody should take delegates and claim victory unless they get those delegates with voters and voting. And that's what's going to happen.
So, but then, of course, the problem is some of the states coming up, that's not the way it is. For instance, in Pennsylvania, most of those delegates, which Trump looks like he's going to win by, you know, 20%, most of those delegates aren't bound.
Only 17 of those 71 are bound. I do think Donald Trump will win them. Then he will have to pursue the 54. People need to pay attention to this because Donald Trump has shifted his focus.
Yes.
Now he's now going after unbound delegates, and Pennsylvania is going to be the test if he has shifted enough. I suspect maybe he has, but we'll know after Pennsylvania whether or not he has.
Yeah. What are you hearing on Facebook and social media, Logan?
We have comments coming in. This is from Lori. She said Kasich clearly has no path.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz has great possibility of winning the nomination, though, still. He's definitely not a spoiler.
So, well, right, I think he's the honest number two. I think Ted Cruz is in second. You have these things go down the path, and then he's second. And I think that's fair.
All right.
We're going to take more of your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We appreciate that. ACLJ.org. We come back. We'll take more of your calls, but we're also going to get into how it looks going forward. But I think it's fair to say, look, it's a two-person race. Tougher path for Ted Cruz than it is for Donald Trump. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. And we had an interesting conversation during the break, and that is there's this, you know, rumor, there was an RNC meeting yesterday, and the idea of what they call the white knight, somebody comes in, the third party, third person candidate no one's thinking about, and they do that. Fan and I are both of the view that that is not likely. And then there's these conspiracy theories that are out there right now that it would go to the Electoral College, and there won't be, no one will get to 270, and it'll be decided by the House of Representatives. So this is all speculation right now, Fan, but I think the closer it gets to this, that's probably what's going to be happening.
There's going to be more of this talk. Listen, as far as the white knight goes, that would require nobody winning on the first ballot. Right now, Donald Trump is the only one who can win on the first ballot. I don't think that's likely. As for the House of Representatives determining the election in November, that would require a third-party candidate
who would win a
blue state.
Yeah,
and
not likely.
You know, I don't know who that is or how they can do that.
Now, I will say this. We looked at the Hill report this morning, and I asked Joseph Williams on our team to dig a little deeper in it. This was a 15-minute meeting at the RNC. So I wouldn't read too much into this, folks, but we'll report that it happened. But no one came out and said this is what's going to happen or this is what should happen. All right, right now the leaders are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That's who the leaders are. In second place, distant second on the Democratic side, is Bernie Sanders. He's statistically impossible. As far as getting to 1237, Ted Cruz can't get there either, but it's closer. But after next week, it could be a 400 delegate gap. Is that what we're saying, Will? About a 400 delegate gap between Cruz and Trump. That's a pretty surmountable. That's a tough one to surmount.
Let's go ahead and get back to some phone calls. We have Jackie, who's been holding for 30 minutes in Mesa, Arizona.
Hey, Jackie, I'm going to send you our book of Undemocratic, because you've been holding a long time.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, on Facebook, there's a bunch of us that are talking about U.S. Code Title 18.
That's the criminal
Section
code.
Section 2071.
Right.
That says that anybody who mutilates, conceals, removes, or mutilates documents, they can be they're disqualified from holding any office in the United States.
Well, you've got to be convicted of it, though. So, Jackie, Title 18 of the U.S. Code is the criminal code. You have to be convicted of a violation. Now, this is one of the allegations that have come up in the Hillary Clinton email scandal. I was on Fox News last week talking to Sean Hannity about this. So there are multiple statutes that come into play on this email issue. The real question in that case is not whether there were violations of the law, which should be the real question. It's the question of, is the FBI going to do what's called a CRL, a criminal reference letter, where they package up the case, send it over to the Department of Justice and say, we recommend criminal prosecution. And then will the Department of Justice, which serves as part of the executive, which means under the president, will they then authorize an indictment and grand jury impaneled and an indictment against Hillary Clinton? And I just think it's going to be really tough to see that. I just don't see it. Are there any rumblings on Capitol Hill on this right now, Than?
Well, there are some, and I would just say this to Jackie. This is the entire reason that Bernie Sanders will stay in the race to the convention, just on the off shot that this happens. And just one other thing, if that indictment were to come down, I would guarantee you there will be another entry on the Democrat side, because all of those delegates who are now pledged to Hillary Clinton, they will become unbound, and they may not like Bernie Sanders. So on the off chance that happens, you're going to have another candidate in the race.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. Let's grab another call or comment.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Raj calling from Vienna, Virginia.
Hi, Raj.
Thank you. One issue which has not been raised by any of the campaigns is health care and its impact on the economy.
Well, you're right, and UnitedHealthcare announced yesterday that they're pulling out of the Obamacare system. The president said, well, they're only 6%. Only 6% of the healthcare coverage of the United States. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, I don't think people understand what 6% means. I mean, that's
tens of millions of people. And they're saying, like, they're an insignificant player and they weren't competitive. UnitedHealthcare is one of the largest healthcare providers in the United States. I guarantee you there are people that are listening to this broadcast or watching us right now on Facebook or Periscope or watching on the website or on television. And guess what? Your insurance company is UnitedHealthcare. So this is an ongoing issue. This is not going away. And I think this is – you're right, Raj. This is not getting enough attention. It will be it will get attention when you turn to the general election. I think you're at the – the unusual aspect of this is that – it normally doesn't go this late into the campaigns. So that's what's really happened here. It doesn't go this late. So it's going this late, and you're not hearing a lot of substantive issues. It's more attacks on each other. That's what's happening.
Yeah, especially now as we got later, get later into it. It's like we all know where they stand on pretty much all the issues.
Yep.
Now it's just attack ad after attack ad.
Yeah.
And it just is what it is. All right, let's keep moving on, see if there's any good comments that have come in.
You like a good comment.
Yep, so sometimes hard to find. Sometimes just people
get
upset.
Well, there's a lot of comments. I mean, I'm watching the Facebook feed. I mean, there's a lot of comments.
All right, here's a comment. This is something related to the situation with the Electoral College. Like you mentioned, that there is that theory that Than brought up that you know, it may go beyond the Electoral College where you can't have, you know, a...
There's not 270.
There's not a true victory. So Amy said we need to change that. We need to change it to the popular vote. The old system is irrelevant now as we have television, radio, and the internet. It was developed because people in rural areas didn't know the candidates. So...
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't think this is – I think Than is right. We don't have a third-party candidate. There's not a blue state in play. I don't see it, Than.
No, I don't either. I mean, again, to keep anybody under a majority of 270 in Electoral College, you have to have a candidate who can win a state and take that state from the opposing party. So if Donald Trump, just theoretically, would run independent, he would have to win independently in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, something like that. I don't think that's going to happen. So – at this point, Jay, I think it's just a conspiracy theory.
Let me tell you something I'm working on right now, and that is I was on the phone just moments before we went on air with the Israeli ambassador to the United States, to the UN, actually. Is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danone. He's been on this broadcast before. He's a good friend of ours. There is some real tension. President Biden, Vice President Biden, rather, hope that's not a Freudian slip, we're not opposing or endorsing candidates, but he's vice president. I want to be clear on that. Has said that he's expressed high frustration levels with Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm going to play for you tomorrow on the broadcast. You are not going to want to miss it. The exchange that took place on the floor of the United Nations and your American Center for Law and Justice, we are front and center, not just reporting it, not just talking about it, not just analyzing, filing documents at the UN. I'm on the call with the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, so heavily engaged in this. Let's grab another call.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Vicky in Santa Ana, California.
I like Santa Ana, California. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking
sure.
my call.
How's your perfect weather in Santa Ana? 72 degrees and sunny?
Oh, it's really hot.
Oh, hot.
There you summer.
Go. All right.
But, you know, California's an open primary state now, and I think the Democrats are manipulating the Republican vote to give the candidate that they determine to be the weakest. So
well, this is where the Republican Party, though, or the Democratic Party, they have to set the rules on this. And you have an open primary system. Yeah. Can people do crossovers? Yeah, they can. And I mean, that's just, you know, that's the deal with an open primary. And I understand the frustration, but that's where who's controlling the party apparatus there. It's the state of California, RNC, the state Republican committee, rather, not the RNC, has to get in there and say, we don't want to do that anymore if you don't want to do that. So I think that part of the process is, now sometimes that does bring new voters into the equation too, so you don't want to kind of dismiss it. There's something to weigh there. But I think this is a reality, that you have an open primary, people can cross over. That's what happens.
All right, do you want to take another call or comment? Or should I take another call? All right, let's go to Mary Jo, who's calling from Buffalo.
Yeah, Mary Jo, I'm doing this. We're taking some more calls here so we can do a rapid-fire round coming up. Hey, Mary Jo.
You there? Mary Jo, Buffalo. And sorry, Mary Jo. Check her, see if she's still there. Moving on, let's go to Bill, who's calling in Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, Wyoming. All right, Bill. Yes.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, this might be my imagination,
all right,
but I'm going to ask your gentleman's opinion on
yep.
this, because it seems like this election seems to be more of I'm voting against that guy rather than voting for this other guy. What's your opinion on that?
I think there's some of that, clearly. There is a sense of frustration. There is a vote against sense. You've got two really non-establishment candidates leading the pack on the Republican side, and you've got one non-establishment Democrat or in Democratic Socialist who's not leading the pack on the Democratic side. But do I think there's a vote against? Yeah, but it's whittled down now to pretty much two. I mean, Than, what's your sense on that? I mean, basically you're down to it's Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, and it's Donald Trump leading,
yeah.
Ted Cruz behind. I mean, but that's where it is right now.
Well, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Hillary Clinton all do have high unfavorable,
yep.
you know, numbers, people who say that they don't like them. But that's not all that rare at this stage of the process.
Especially so this late.
The challenge always, right, when you move from a primary to a general, the challenge is always bringing that unfavorable number down. And by and large, Jay, that number does come down because, like you said, the infighting within the party
yep.
is over and you coalesce around the nominee. Now, if any of these candidates can't do it, it would spell big trouble for them.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. All right, we're taking more calls at 800-684-3110. Let's do a comment, Logan.
Sure, looking for a good comment. Trish said responsible voting requires life experience also.
Yep.
They should raise the voting age. That's once a person. Yeah, I don't like that. Then they would understand what Sanders stands for.
I think the 18-year-old should have the right to vote because they serve in the military. I think that was the right move when we amended the Constitution for that. I think that was the right move.
Yeah, I disagree with you there, but it's a common thing a lot of people do say, well, why are young people voting for Sanders? Why are young people voting for Trump? Is it because it's people that are inexperienced in situation? And no, the answer is because they know how to communicate and are resonating with a certain demographic
yeah.
that clearly the other candidates are not used to talking to.
But having said that, Hillary Clinton, the establishment candidate, is leading the pack by a lot.
Well, yes, I'm talking about specifically the young vote. If
yeah.
you look at the young vote, you're talking about Bernie Sanders understands and his team understands how to communicate to young people. Donald Trump has spent the last 15 years out of probably some of these kids,
23-year-olds,
you know, 23-year-olds, 18-year-olds, on their television sets every week, you know,
yep.
and being entertaining and connecting with them. So you can't blame them for thinking that way. We are going to be taking more calls coming up in the next segment, though. And we're going to do a rapid fire. So if you call in right now, we're guaranteed to get to your call if you make it through the process. 1-800-684-3110.
If you make it through the process.
If you make it through.
You may not. Be careful.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's a reason we have call screeners. Don't call in screaming and cursing. Come on. 1-800-684-3110.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We are doing a rapid fire round. We've got a couple lines open. Get in the conversation now. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110.
All right, let's move on. Get to our first call. The rapid fire round. Buck in Montana.
Hey, Buck.
Thank you, Jay. Jordan, thank you so much for the ACLJ. I want to thank you on behalf of Montana and the work that you've done here with the Jesus statue.
Yeah, that worked out.
That worked out well. Yes, it certainly did. And thank you on behalf of our nation and worldwide Christian persecution. I'm a Ted Cruz supporter, and I've listened to some calls today. And as true conservatives and believers, now is not the time to turn and run. As conservatives, we're going to believe to walk by faith and not by sight.
Well, it was interesting, Buck, and I'm glad you called. That's why I wanted to get to your call, because we had two callers early today, both Cruz, Ted Cruz supporters, and we've had Ted Cruz on this broadcast. We've had Donald Trump on the broadcast in the past as well. And it was interesting that both of them said now they were going to, hoping Trump was going to be the nominee, so it's glad to hear that the contra side. I'm not pro or con, and I'm not endorsing or opposing either one. I just think it's interesting that we've had this kind of dynamic, and we've seen a lot of that on Facebook and social media today as well, too. There is this concern, I think, like what you said earlier, I think it's worth repeating, and that yesterday's win was so big for Trump, it's disheartened some folks.
Yeah, I think eventually you have to come to a realization that it has to be over and that you ran a great campaign and it's ended. Now, I don't think necessarily that Ted Cruz is there, but we are seeing some of that kind of language and verbiage used from television, from the morning shows, from these kind of sources, and also now from people that are just in here making comments. So I think you are seeing that kind of movement, a little bit of a switch.
Yeah, let's talk about the momentum factor here, because momentum is important in politics. So there is this momentum factor. So you had this momentum, and Ted Cruz had it for a while, where he was winning those states and Donald Trump wasn't really competing. And now Trump's had this big win in New York. It's a momentum factor. We have this in litigation too. Momentum impacts things. Than, how do you see the momentum factor? Because I think it's going to help Trump a lot next week.
Oh, I think it will too. Cruz had it all last... After Wisconsin, Trump got it all back last night. I think he's going to carry it through next week. I would say this to Buck. Montana votes on June 7th. It's a state that Ted Cruz needs the very last day of the primary. And I just want to be clear about what we're saying. We're not saying that Ted Cruz has no path. In fact, his path is on the second ballot. He'd probably be the favorite on his second ballot.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump is now the only one who can win on the first ballot. So he is going to get a clear shot at it before Ted Cruz has his shot.
Let me play Ted Cruz's comment from last night, too. It's important. We played the one from Donald Trump. I want to play the Ted Cruz comment now.
Are America's greatest generations in our past or our best days yet ahead? We must unite the Republican Party, because doing so is the first step towards uniting all Americans.
So this is an interesting statement from Ted, because he's talking about uniting the party, but he is right now in a second place, 300 delegates and probably 400 delegates behind. So this is politics, folks. This is messaging. As Logan does branding, this is messaging.
We even saw comments come in, call yesterday, now comments today, saying that some of these New Yorkers went out and voted for Donald Trump because of Ben Carson, because of his support. So you are seeing some of these endorsements pull into effect when it comes to people that were leaning towards a Carson-type candidate now going for Trump. Like one person just said, not that you are endorsing. A lot of people are guessing who you voted for. But are they close? But people said if you personally endorse someone, they would trust your judgment and go with them, much like they're trusting Ben Carson.
And I trust the American people's judgment. That's why I'm not endorsing right now.
All right, we got a bunch of calls.
And I have friends with all of them that are left. I know them all. All right, let's go.
Jenny's calling from Watertown, New York.
Watching on Facebook. Hey, Jenny.
Yep. Hi.
Hey.
So regarding media, it seems like only a few people are in power. Like, I don't know why there's only a certain who chooses which network channels get to be a network channel. But how might our founding fathers have planned for the, imbalance of power related to the influence of media?
I'll tell you how they planned for it. It's called the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's called free speech. And now with the internet and you're watching on Facebook, you have access and you can create your own media. You can create your own news. In fact, we're doing that. We're on radio stations. We're on television stations. Right. We're on Facebook. We're on Periscope. We're on Apple TV. I mean, we're on
Roku. The traditional networks are becoming less and less of a vital medium. But when you talk about who decides that, well, they're private businesses. It's,
right.
You know, it's who watches. You know who decides that? Are there enough? Is there enough money for advertising dollars to be spent there? So you look, though, at look. I mean, you say that, but Fox, you know, creams pretty much everybody in the ratings. So you can't necessarily say there's always, I mean, not that Fox is, you know, they're known for being, to leaning more in the center, more center right than some of the other networks. So you can't necessarily put that out there anymore that this is this whole
MSNBC
thing.
Says they lean forward.
Lean forward.
Lean forward, whatever that means. All right. Take another call. We got to take, actually, we're going to take all the calls. Let's go.
And CNN's morning show looks like it's in like a, looks like it's in the Ghostbuster firehouse. I was watching it this morning.
It does look like that.
It does. It's odd. I was flipping through. I was like watching everyone. All of a sudden, it looks like I'm in the Ghostbusters firehouse, which I'm for. All for. Sounds good. People wearing like turtlenecks and things. It was nice. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Michelle in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the line. You're on the radio. Sorry, got caught up there.
Hey, Michelle. Yeah, Logan talks about
interior design.
He gets caught up about Ghostbusters.
Hey, Jay. Proud supporter of you guys.
Thanks.
I have two things that are very different. United Healthcare pulling out. I know a couple of other companies have pulled out.
Big deal.
Is this our path? Is this our pathway to nationalizing medicine?
You know what, Michelle? It's a great question. And Than and I were discussing a little bit of this in the break. This United Healthcare thing is a big deal. It's not getting any attention because of the New York primary yesterday. But Than, this is a big deal. It's what we've been saying for 4 years. This healthcare system doesn't work under Obamacare. It is going to get us a step closer to nationalized healthcare because the insurance companies are saying exactly what we did say. It does not work. It cannot work. It will not work.
Jay, the path forward on healthcare depends on who the next president is and who controls the House and the Senate, because these companies are going to continue to pull out.
Yep.
The system is going to continue to fail. And if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders has their way, universal healthcare is something that they both advocate for. So we're going to go one direction or the other.
Yeah, and it's not going to be good for the American people. I will tell you that.
Let's try to get the last two calls in 2 minutes. Carolyn in Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Okay. I believe Hillary Clinton has done everything she has done.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody out there, somebody through the years that would take her and do something about this. Why have they not done anything in all the years?
So your question to the call screener was, I don't understand why the FBI can't prosecute Hillary. Is that what you're asking?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's a good question. The FBI can bring a case, but they can't charge a case. A charge, a criminal charge, comes from the Department of Justice, and that would be a U.S. attorney seeking an indictment. The FBI is the investigative agency, so they can't do this on their own. They have to get approval of the – they're part of the Justice Department, but it is the Justice Department, the prosecutors, the attorney general in this case, that would have to make that decision. Let's grab the next – and this will be the last call.
Last call, Mark in El Paso.
Hey, Mark, and you're watching on Facebook as well.
Yes.
Great.
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
We need – my comment is that our country needs to come back to God, the Bible, and Jesus Christ, and the Ten Commandments, where we have morals and we have right and wrong that's clearly defined.
So you've got an issue which has not come up, and that is the Judeo-Christian heritage of our country. And that has not come up much in this debate because it's been more inter-party squabbling. But look, I think, people of religious faith and conviction are going to look at that lens. I mean, they vote through the lens how you see the world. Worldview matters in the body politic, in real politic, in world politic. The fact of the matter is, that will be more of a general election. I think that's when you see that develop more clearly. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Tomorrow, we've got a special on Israel you are not going to want to miss. It's going to be dynamic, folks, on what's going on at the UN. We're going to take you inside the United Nations. How about that? ACLJ.org is the best place for go to support the work of the ACLJ. As I said, we're about $35,000, $50,000 behind where we need to be right now. You can help us today. Go to ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for, and it's tax deductible. So ACLJ.org, or if you get my newsletters, respond to those as well at ACLJ.org. Support our work. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.